This is, for the record, program number 1119, being recorded live on March 6th of the year 2020. The title of the program is DARPA and the COVID-19 Outbreak. Again, being recorded on March 6th of the year 2020. It is amazing to me to watch the whole world standing on its head or crashing down or coming to a standstill, depending on what image and metaphor one wishes to use over this outbreak. The number of documented cases of this outbreak is relatively small, and yet, my goodness, look at what is happening. I'm going to be devoting the vast bulk of this program to an article from the UNZ, that's spelled UNZ, Review. That is an extreme right-wing publication. Some of the sidebar feature books include Arthur Butz's book, basically a Holocaust denial book. And it is Arthur Butz's, Earl Butz's brother, who was Secretary of Agriculture under Richard Nixon. And it is generally an extreme right-wing publication. Yesterday I read an article which relied heavily on information, or considerably on information, from both the People's Daily and from Global Times, both Chinese government-controlled media outlets. As I noted in connection with that article, the bulk of the sourcing was from Asahi TV and Internet in Japan, and also from a Taiwanese scientist who gave a discourse on Taiwanese television. I think we can assume that neither major Japanese media nor Taiwanese media outlets are carrying water for the Communist Party of China, although I think focusing on China as, quote, communist, unquote, at this time is somewhat misleading. They certainly have a centralized government with the Communist Party sitting atop the roost, so to speak. State capitalism comes a little closer, I think, to the present reality of China. I myself had not paid that much attention to China in some time. You can't focus on everything, and sort of my impression of China was the old great cultural leap forward, the cultural revolution, when they had the Red Guards throwing people with college educations out of upper story windows. And my general attitude was, China, what, kidding me? They have made a great deal of progress reducing poverty from 81% or 88% of their population in 1981 to 0.7% in 2015, according to the IMF. And their middle class has grown from 4% in 2002 to 31% in the latter part of this decade. And the sources for that are certainly not communist propaganda vehicles, including, by the way, the analysis division of the CIA. However, given the hysteria surrounding China and the obvious full court press against China, at the epicenter of that particular web, by the way, Steve Bannon, I think it is important when discussing information of the type that we spoke about in For the Record 1118 to take note of that. There is a lot of very disturbing information about the COVID-19, including some experiments which don't make a whole lot of sense unless they are covers for biological warfare experimentation. More about that later. By the same token, I don't think the right wing, very right wing, UN's review can be seen as carrying water for the communist Chinese, or the Chinese Communist Party. This particular article is, however, very scholarly. The links check out. And the author, Whitney Webb, W-E-B-B, appears to have done, I think, a very, very good job in connection with this. Her work, in addition to having been featured on the UN's review, obviously, has also appeared on the Project Censored show on the Pacifica Network. Her Mint Press news articles are somewhat uneven. Some of it is quite good, and some of it, I think, uses some questionable sourcing. However, this article is very important, and the sources that she uses, and there are abundant links, check out, and they are credible. And the information in this article is absolutely terrifying, and I think when seen in connection with the article that I read into the record yesterday from Global Research by Larry Romanoff, well, I think there is very obvious significant resonance between the information presented here, the information from the Taiwanese scientist reporting on TV, and also the Japanese television report. Blues singer Taj Mahal had a statement some years back where he said, "Man, if you ain't scared, you ain't right." And watching the absolute hysteria that is gripping not only this country, but around the world, watching capital markets tumbling all around the world, the global economy coming to a halt, schools closing down, travel closing down. This is really fundamentally altering our political landscape, our economic landscape, and even really our civilization. And yet, the number of cases is really relatively small. 2 years ago, the U.S. experienced its worst flu season in 40 years, 45 million infected, 80,000 dead, according to the CDC, and yet we did not have this chicken little journalism where the sky is falling. So again, with the very strong caveat, with a capital V, a capital S, and a capital C about the UN's review, I do think this article by Ms. Whitney Webb is a very good and very important piece of work, and because of the scholarly nature of it, and the links are credible and abundant, the importance of the information could not be exaggerated. I think this is a very, very important article, a terrifying article. And, well, I think Whitney Webb deserves a lot of credit for this. So, with with that caveat about the UN's review, I certainly think we could not see this as carrying water for the Chinese Communist Party. This article from the UN's review of January 30th of 2020, Bats, Gene Editing, and Bioweapons. Recent DARPA experiments raise concerns amid coronavirus outbreak. It reads, and if time permitting, I will have some commentary and analysis afterward. I will almost certainly repeat certain passages here for emphasis. Ms. Webb writes, "In recent weeks, concern over the emergence of a novel coronavirus in China has grown exponentially as media experts and government officials around the world have openly worried that this new disease has the potential to develop into a global pandemic. As concerns about the future of the ongoing outbreak have grown, so too have the number of theories speculating about the outbreak's origin, many of which blame a variety of state actors and or controversial billionaires. this has inevitably led to efforts to clamp down on, quote, misinformation, unquote, related to the coronavirus outbreak from both mainstream media outlets and major social media platforms. However, while many of these theories are clearly speculative, there is also verifiable evidence regarding the recent interest of one controversial U.S. government agency in novel coronaviruses, specifically those transmitted from bats to humans. That agency, the Pentagon's Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, or DARPA, began spending millions on such research in 2018, and some of those Pentagon-funded studies were conducted at known U.S. military bioweapons labs bordering China and resulted in the discovery of dozens of new coronavirus strains as recently as last April. Furthermore, the ties of the Pentagon's main biodefense lab to a virology institute in Wuhan, China, where the current outbreak is believed to have begun, have been unreported in English language media thus far. I'm going to pause here. A couple of things to, several things to keep in mind as we go into this. A number of what are known as gain of function experiments or machinations have been reported in the American scientific press, in which various viruses, in particular bat-borne coronaviruses similar to the SARS virus, have been genetically altered to make them adaptable to other species and to become transmissible by casual respiratory activity. Those experiments have been under the rationalization that by altering these viruses we can see how they might become a threat and then we can develop vaccines or prophylactic procedures to guard against those. This, to my mind, and I think this will be reinforced as we get into this article, brings up the old and false dichotomy between offensive and defensive biological warfare research. When you are researching how we beasties, either bacteria or viruses or perhaps even fungi, are infecting human beings and producing pathology, you are studying that whether or not it is for offensive or defensive purposes. It is an academic and false dichotomization. Basically, it is the same research. You can call it offensive or defensive, or you can call it your mother. It is the same thing. I think much of the rationalization for doing these kinds of experiments to prevent future outbreaks, and as we will see, many DARPA projects that overlap the research into bats and coronaviruses are under preemptive programs to prevent future pandemics. That appears to me to be simply another iteration of the false dichotomization of biological warfare research into quote offensive or quote defensive. There are some really terrifying things that are brought up by Ms. Webb in this article that not only smack directly or really feature both eugenics at their foundation and, frankly, biogenocide, or at least potentially so. Again, this is a very important article. That is why I am reading it. Again, I don't think the UNS review can be seen as carrying water for the Chinese Communist Party, and the significance of what we are going to go into here could not be exaggerated. It's also interesting that we see Radio Free Asia and the Broadcasting Board of Governors coming into the disinformation, as we have seen in our series about Surveillance Valley and also about the destabilization of China. The Broadcasting Board of Governors is what might be termed a CIA derivative, and they were helping to finance the Tor Network and Julian Assange's right-hand man, Jacob Applebaum, the Ayn Rand acolyte, who was financed in considerable measure by the BBG. Also, note that the Washington Times is presenting this information here. The Washington Times, of course, is owned by the Unification Church. And as we saw yesterday and in, For the Record programs 11:16 and 11:17, the Shinjonji, I'm probably mispronouncing that cult, in Korea, which is the epicenter of the outbreak of COVID-19 in Korea, is heavily overlapped with the Unification Church. So, repeating the last paragraph again and continuing. However, while many of these theories are clearly speculative, there is also verifiable evidence regarding the recent interest of one controversial U.S. government agency in novel coronaviruses, specifically those transmitted from bats to humans. That agency, the Pentagon's Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, or DARPA, began spending millions on such research in 2018, and some of those Pentagon-funded studies were conducted at known U.S. military bioweapons labs bordering China, and which resulted in the discovery of dozens of new coronavirus strains as recently as last April. Furthermore, the ties of the Pentagon's main biodefense lab to a virology institute in Wuhan, China, where the current outbreak is believed to have begun, have been unreported in English language media thus far. While it remains entirely unknown as to what caused the outbreak, the details of DARPA's and the Pentagon's recent experimentation are clearly in the public interest, especially considering that the very companies recently chosen to develop a vaccine to combat the coronavirus outbreak are themselves strategic allies of DARPA. Not only that, but these DARPA-backed companies are developing controversial DNA and mRNA vaccines for this particular coronavirus, a category of vaccine that has never previously been approved for human use in the U.S. Yet, as fears of the pandemic potential of coronavirus grow, these vaccines are set to be rushed to market for public use, making it important for the public to be aware of DARPA's recent experiments on coronaviruses, bats, and gene editing technologies, and their broader implications. Then, examining the recent Wuhan bioweapon narrative. As the coronavirus outbreak has come to dominate headlines in recent weeks, several media outlets have promoted claims that the reported epicenter of the outbreak in Wuhan, China, was also the site of laboratories allegedly linked to a Chinese government biowarfare program. However, upon further examination of the sourcing of this serious claim, these supposed links between the outbreak and an alleged Chinese bioweapons program have come from two highly dubious sources. By the way, note that the Broadcasting Board of Governors is also linked to and has been involved with the Falun Gong cult, which also is networking with Steve Bannon as part of his anti-China full court press project. For instance, continuing with the article. For instance, the first outlet to report on this claim was Radio Free Asia, the U.S. government-funded media outlet targeting Asian audiences that used to be run covertly by the CIA and named by the New York Times as a key part of the agency's worldwide propaganda network. Though it is no longer run directly by the CIA, it is now managed by the government-funded Broadcasting Board of Governors, or BBG, which answers directly to Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, who was CIA director immediately prior to his current post as the head of the State Department. In other words, Radio Free Asia and other BBG-managed media outlets are legal outlets for U.S. government propaganda. Notably, the long-standing ban on the domestic use of U.S. government propaganda on U.S. citizens was lifted in 2013 with the official justification of allowing the government to, quote, effectively communicate in a credible way, unquote, and to better combat, quote, Al-Qaeda's and other violent extremists' influence, unquote. Returning to the subject at hand, Radio Free Asia's recent report on the alleged origins of the outbreak being linked to a Chinese state-linked virology center cited only Ren Orien Rihong, R-U-I-H-O-N-G, the former head of the Medical Assistance Department at the Chinese Red Cross, for that claim. Rihong has been cited as an expert in several Radio Free Asia reports on disease outbreaks in China, but has not been cited as an expert by any other English-language media outlet. Rihong told Radio Free Asia that it's a new type of mutant coronavirus. They haven't made public the genetic sequence because it is highly contagious. Genetic engineering technology has gotten to such a point now, and Wuhan is home to a vital research center that is under the aegis of the China Academy of Sciences, which is the highest level of research facility in China. Parenthetically, the genome of the virus is now public. Continuing. Though Rihong did not directly say that the Chinese government was making a bioweapon at the Wuhan facility, she did imply that genetic experiments at the facility may have resulted in the creation of this new mutant coronavirus, unquote, at the center of the outbreak. With Radio Free Asia and its single source having speculated about Chinese government links to the creation of the new coronavirus, the Washington Times, again owned by Moon, soon took it much farther in a report titled, quote, Virus Hit Wuhan Has Two Laboratories Linked to Chinese Biowarfare Program, unquote. That article, much like Radio Free Asia's earlier report, cites a single source for that claim, former Israeli military intelligence biowarfare specialist Danny Danny Shoham, Shoham. Yet upon reading the article, Shoham does not even directly make the claim cited in the article's headline, as he only told the Washington Times that, quote, certain laboratories in the Wuhan Institute have probably been engaged in terms of research and development in Chinese biological weapons, at least collaterally, yet not as a principal facility of the Chinese biological warfare alignment, unquote. While Shoham's claims are clearly speculative, it is telling that the Washington Times would bother to cite him at all, especially given the key role he played in promoting false claims that the 2001 anthrax attacks was the work of Iraq's Saddam Hussein. Shoham's assertions about Iraq's government and weaponized anthrax, which were used to bolster the case for the 2003 invasion of Iraq, have since been proven completely false, as Iraq was found to have neither the chemical or biological, quote, weapons of mass destruction, unquote, that, quote, experts, unquote, like Shoham had claimed. Beyond Shoham's own history of making suspect claims, it is also worth noting that Shoham's previous employer, Israeli Military Intelligence, has a troubling past with bioweapons. For instance, in the late 1990s, it was reported by several outlets that Israel was in the process of developing a genetic bioweapon that would target Arabs, specifically Iraqis, but leave Israeli Jews unaffected. Given the dubious past of Shoham and the clearly speculative nature of both his claims and those made in the Radio Free Asia report, one passage in the Washington Times article is particularly telling about why these claims have recently surfaced. Quote, one ominous sign, said a U.S. official, is that the false rumors since the outbreak began several weeks ago have been circulating on the Chinese internet, claiming the virus is part of a U.S. conspiracy to spread germ weapons. that could indicate China is preparing propaganda outlets that counter future charges that the new virus escaped from one of Wuhan's civilian or defense research laboratories, unquote. However, as then Whitney Webb goes on to write here, however, as seen in that very article, accusations that the coronavirus escaped from a Chinese state-linked laboratory is hardly a future charge, as both the Washington Times and Radio Free Asia have already been making that claim. Instead, what this passage suggests is that the reports in both Radio Free Asia and the Washington Times were responses to the claims circulating within China that the outbreak is linked to, quote, a U.S. conspiracy to spread germ weapons, unquote. By the way, parenthetically, I had wondered in both For the Record 11 and 11-12 about Kyle, J. Kyle Bass's tweet alleging basically the same thing, that China was developing a bioweapon and that escaped and that produced the coronavirus outbreak. He said that he would not believe his tweet because he was trying to counter what Chinese media were saying. I had not at that point seen anything from Chinese media making such a charge. Indeed, the article from Global Research by Larry Romanoff that we read yesterday is a little more oblique than that. It does cite both Taiwanese and Japanese media outlets as saying the virus appears to have originated in the U.S. and then been introduced into Wuhan. More about that as we get into this particular article. Continuing, though most English language media outlets to date have not examined such a possibility, there is considerable supporting evidence that deserves to be examined. For instance, not only was the U.S. military, including its controversial research on the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, or DARPA, recently funding studies in and near China that discovered new mutant coronaviruses originating from bats, but the Pentagon has also become recently concerned about the potential use of bats as bioweapons. As the ongoing coronavirus outbreak centered in China has spread to other countries and been blamed for a growing number of deaths, a consensus has emerged that this particular virus, currently classified as a novel coronavirus, unquote, is believed to have originated in bats and was transmitted to humans in Wuhan, China, via a seafood market that also traded exotic animals. So-called, quote, wet-unquote markets like the one in Wuhan were previously blamed for past deadly coronavirus outbreaks in China, such as the 2003 outbreak of severe acute respiratory syndrome, or SARS. In addition, one preliminary study on the coronavirus responsible for the current outbreak found that the receptor, angiotensin, that's A-N-G-I-O-T-E-N-S-I-N hyphen, converting enzyme 2, or capital A, capital C, capital E 2, is not only the same as that used by the SARS coronavirus, but that East Asians present a much higher ratio of lung cells that express that receptor than the other ethnicities, Caucasian and African American, included in the study. However, such findings are preliminary and the sample size is too small to draw any definitive conclusions from that preliminary data. 2 years ago, media reports began discussing the Pentagon's sudden concern that bats could be used as biological weapons, particularly in spreading coronaviruses and other deadly diseases. The Washington Post asserted that the Pentagon's interest in investigating the potential use of bats to spread weaponized and deadly diseases was because of alleged Russian efforts to do the same. However, these claims regarding this Russian interest in using bats as bioweapons date back to the 1980s when the Soviet Union engaged in covert research involving the Marburg virus, research that did not even involve bats, but which ended with the Soviet Union's collapse in 1991. Like much of the Pentagon's controversial research programs, the bats as bioweapons research has been framed as defensive, despite the fact that no imminent threat involving bat-propagated bioweapons has been acknowledged. However, independent scientists have recently accused the Pentagon, particularly its research arm DARPA, of claiming to be engaged in research it says is, quote, defensive, unquote, but is actually offensive, unquote. The most recent example of this involved DARPA's Insect Allies program, which officially, quote, aims to protect the U.S. agricultural food supply by delivering protective genes to plants via insects, which are responsible for the transmission of most plant viruses, and to ensure, quote, food security in the event of a major threat, unquote, according to both DARPA and media reports. However, a group of well-respected independent scientists revealed in a scathing analysis of the program that far from being a defensive research project, the Insect Allies program was aimed at creating and delivering a new class of biological weapon, unquote. The scientists, writing in the journal Science, led by Richard Guy Rees from the Max Planck Institute for Evolutionary Biology in Germany, warned that DARPA's program, which uses insects as the vehicle for horizontal environmental genetic alteration agents, or HEGAS, capital H-E-G-A-A-S, all in caps, revealed, quote, an intention to develop a means of delivery of HEGAS for offensive purposes. What the real motivation behind the Pentagon's sudden and recent concern about bats being used as a vehicle for bioweapons, the U.S. military has spent millions of dollars over the past several years funding research on bats, the deadly viruses they can harbor, including coronaviruses, and how those viruses are transmitted from bats to humans. For instance, DARPA spent $10 million on one project in 2018, quote, to unravel the complex causes of bat-borne viruses that have recently made the jump to humans, causing concern among global health officials, unquote. Another research project backed by both DARPA and the National Institutes of Health saw researchers at Colorado State University examine the coronavirus that causes Middle East Respiratory Syndrome, or MERS, in bats and camels, quote, to understand the role of these hosts in transmitting disease to humans, unquote. Other U.S. military-funded studies discussed in detail later in this report discovered several new strains of novel coronaviruses carried by bats, both within China and in countries bordering China. Many of these recent research projects are related to DARPA's Preventing Emerging Pathogenic Threats, or PREEMPT program, which was officially announced in April of 2018. PREEMPT, again, all in capital letters, PREEMPT focuses specifically on animal reservoirs of disease, specifically bats, and DARPA even noted in its press release in the program that it, quote, is aware of biosafety and biosecurity sensitivities that could arise, unquote, due to the nature of the research. DARPA's announcement for PREEMPT came just a few months after the U.S. government declined to controversially end a moratorium on so-called, quote, gain-of-function studies involving dangerous pathogens. Vice News explained gain-of-function studies as follows. Known as gain-of-function studies, this type of research is ostensibly about trying to stay one step ahead of nature by making superviruses that are more pathogenic and easily transmissible. Scientists are able to study the way these viruses may evolve and how genetic changes affect the way a virus interacts with its host. Using this information, the scientists can try to preempt the natural emergence of these traits by developing antiviral medications that are capable of staving off a pandemic. In addition, while both DARPA's preempt program and the Pentagon's open interest in bats as bioweapons were announced in 2018, the U.S. military, specifically the Department of Defense's Cooperative Threat Reduction Program, began funding research involving bats and deadly pathogens, including the coronaviruses MERS and SARS, a year prior in 2017. One of those studies focused on, quote, bat-borne zoonotic disease emergence in Western Asia, unquote, and involved the Lugar Center, L-U-G-A-R, in Georgia, identified by former Georgian government officials, the Russian government, and independent investigative journalist Dilyana Gayantseva as a covert U.S. bioweapons lab. That woman's last name, I probably butchered it, Gayantseva. Again, one of those studies focused on bat-borne zoonotic disease emergence in Western Asia and involved the Lugar Center in Georgia, identified by former Georgian government officials, the Russian government, and independent investigative journalist Dilyana Gayantseva as a covert U.S. bioweapons lab. It is also important to point out the fact that the U.S. military's key laboratories involving the study of deadly pathogens, including coronaviruses, Ebola, and others, was suddenly shut down last July after the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, identified major biosafety lapses at the facility. The U.S. Army Medical Research Institute of Infectious Diseases, USAMRID, facility at Fort Detrick, Maryland, the U.S. military's lead laboratory for biological defense research since the late 1960s, was forced to halt all research it was conducting with a series of deadly pathogens after the CDC found that it lacked, quote, sufficient systems in place to decontaminate wastewater, unquote, from its highest security labs, and failure of staff to follow safety procedures, among other lapses. The facility contains both Level 3 and Level 4 biosafety labs. While it is unknown if experiments involving coronaviruses were ongoing at the time, USAMRID has recently been involved in research born out of the Pentagon's recent concern about the use of bats as bioweapons. The decision to shut down USAMRID garnered surprisingly little media coverage, as did the CDC's surprising decision to allow the troubled facility to, quote, partially resume, unquote, research late last November, even though the facility was and is still not at, quote, full operational capability, unquote. The USAMRID's problematic record of safety at such facilities is a particular concern in light of the recent coronavirus outbreak in China. As this report will soon reveal, this is because USAMRID has a decades-old and close partnership with the University of Wuhan's Institute of Medical Virology, which is located in the epicenter of the current outbreak. Beyond the U.S. military's recent expenditures on and interest in the use of bats as, bioweapons, it is also worth examining the recent studies the military has funded regarding bats and, quote, novel coronaviruses, unquote, such as that behind the recent outbreak that have taken place within or in close proximity to China. For instance, one study conducted in southern China in 2018 resulted in the discovery of 89 new novel bat coronavirus strains that use the same receptor as the coronavirus known as Middle East Respiratory Syndrome, or MERS. That study was jointly funded by the Chinese government's Ministry of Science and Technology, U.S. Agency for International Development, an organization long alleged to be a front for U.S. intelligence, and the U.S. National Institute of Health, which has collaborated with both the CIA and the Pentagon on infectious disease and bioweapons research. The authors of the study also sequenced the complete genomes for two of those strains and also noted that existing MERS vaccines would be ineffective in targeting these viruses, leading them to suggest that one should be developed in advance. This did not occur. Another U.S. government-funded study that discovered still more new strains of novel bat coronavirus was published just last year. Titled, Discovery and Characterization of Novel Bat Coronavirus Lineages from Kazakhstan, focused on the, quote, the bat fauna of Central Asia, which linked China to Eastern Europe, unquote, and the novel bat coronavirus lineages discovered during the study were found to be, quote, closely related to bat coronaviruses from China, France, Spain, and South Africa, suggesting that co-circulation of coronaviruses is common in multiple bat species with overlapping geographical distributions, unquote. In other words, the coronaviruses discovered in this study were identified in bat populations that migrate between China and Kazakhstan, among other countries, and is closely related to bat coronaviruses in several countries, including China. The study was entirely funded by the U.S. Department of Defense, specifically the Defense Threat Reduction Agency, or DTRA, as part of a project investigating coronaviruses similar to MERS, such as the aforementioned 2018 study. Yet, beyond the funding of this 2019 study, the institutions involved in conducting this study are also worth noting given their own close ties to the U.S. military and government. The study's authors are affiliated with either the Kazakhstan-based Research Institute for Biological Safety Problems and or Duke University. The Research Institute for Biological Safety Problems, though officially a part of Kazakhstan's National Center for Biotechnology, has received millions from the U.S. government, most of it coming from the Pentagon's Cooperative Threat Reduction Program. It is the Kazakhstan government's official depository of, quote, highly dangerous animal and bird infections with a collection of 278 pathogenic strains of U.S. infectious diseases, unquote. It is part of a network of Pentagon-funded bioweapons labs throughout the Central Asian country, which borders both of the U.S. top rival states, China and Russia. Duke University's involvement with this study is also interesting given that Duke is a key partner of DARPA's Pandemic Prevention Platform, or P3, program, which officially aims to, quote, dramatically accelerate discovery, integration, preclinical testing, and manufacturing of medical countermeasures against infectious diseases, unquote. The first step of the Duke DARPA program involves the discovery of potentially threatening viruses and developing methods to support viral propagation so that virus can be used for downstream studies. Duke University is jointly partnered with China's Wuhan University, which is based in the city where the current coronavirus outbreak began, which resulted in the opening of the China-based Duke Kunshun University, or DKU, in 2018. Notably, China's Wuhan University, in addition to its partnership with Duke, also includes a multi-lab institute of medical virology that has worked closely with the U.S. Army Medical Research Institute for Infectious Diseases since the 1980s, according to its website. As previously noted, the USAMRIID facility in the U.S. was shut down last July for failures to abide by biosafety and proper waste disposal procedures, but was allowed to partially resume some experiments late last November. The Pentagon's dark history of germ warfare. The U.S. military has a troubling past of having used disease as a weapon during times of war. One example involved the U.S. use of germ warfare during the Korean War when it targeted both North Korea and China by dropping diseased insects and voles carrying a variety of pathogens, including bubonic plague and hemorrhagic fever, from planes in the middle of the night. Despite the mountain of evidence and the testimony of U.S. soldiers involved in that program, the U.S. government and military denied the claims and ordered the destruction of relevant documentation. In the post-World War II era, other examples of U.S. research aimed at developing biological weapons have emerged, some of which have recently received media attention. One such example occurred this past July when the U.S. House of Representatives demanded information from the U.S. military on its past efforts to weaponize insects and Lyme disease between 1950 and 1975. The U.S. has claimed that it has not pursued offensive biological weapons since 1969, and this has been further supported by the U.S.'s ratification of the Biological Weapons Convention, or BWC, which went into effect in 1975. However, there is extensive evidence that the U.S. has continued to covertly research and develop such weapons in the years since, much of it conducted abroad and outsourced to private companies, yet still funded by the U.S. military. Several investigators, including Diljana Gyandzieva, have documented how the U.S. produces deadly viruses, bacteria, and other toxins at facilities outside of the U.S., many of them in Eastern Europe, Africa, and South Asia, in clear violation of the BWC. Aside from the military's own research, the controversial neoconservative think tank, the now-defunct Project for a New American Century, or PNAC, openly promoted the use of a race-specific, genetically modified bioweapon as a, quote, politically useful tool, unquote. In what is arguably the think tank's most controversial document titled Rebuilding America's Defenses, unquote, there are a few passages that openly discuss the utility of bioweapons, including the following sentences. Combat likely will take place in new dimensions, in space, cyberspace, and perhaps the world of microbes, advanced forms of biological warfare that can, quote, target, unquote, specific genotypes may transform biological warfare from the realm of terror to a politically useful tool, unquote. The numerous members of PNOC were prominent in the George W. Bush administration. Many of its more controversial members have again risen to political prominence in the Trump administration. Several years after Rebuilding America's Defenses was published, the U.S. Air Force published a document entitled Biotechnology, Genetically Engineered Pathogens, which contained the following passage. Quote, the Jason Group, composed of academic scientists, served as technical advisors to the U.S. government. Their study generated six broad classes of genetically engineered pathogens that could pose serious threats to society. These include but are not limited to binary biological weapons, designer genes, gene therapy as a weapon, stealth viruses, host-swapping diseases, and designer diseases, unquote. Concerns about Pentagon experiments with biological weapons have garnered renewed media attention, particularly after it was revealed in 2017 that DARPA was the top funder of the controversial gene drive technology, which has the power to permanently alter the genetics of entire populations while targeting others for extinction. This last sentence again. Concerns about Pentagon experiments with biological weapons have garnered renewed media attention, particularly after it was revealed in 2017 that DARPA was the top funder of the controversial gene drive technology, which has the power to permanently alter the genetics of entire populations while targeting others for extinction. at least two of DARPA's studies using entire populations while targeting, at least two of DARPA's studies using this controversial technology were classified and, quote, focused on the potential military application of gene drive technology and use of gene drives in agriculture, according to media reports. The revelation came after an organization called the ETC Group obtained over 1,000 emails on the military's interest in the technology as part of a Freedom of Information Act request. Co-director of the ETC Group, Jim Thomas, said that this technology may be used as a biological weapon. Quote, gene drives are a powerful and dangerous new technology, and potential biological weapons could have disastrous impacts on peace, food security, and the environment, especially if misused. The fact that gene drive development is now being primarily funded and structured by the U.S. military raises alarming questions about this entire field. Though the exact motivation behind the military's interest in such technology is unknown, the Pentagon has been open about the fact that it is devoting much of its resources towards the containment of what it considers the two greatest threats to U.S. military hegemony, Russia and China. China has been cited as the greatest threat of the two by several Pentagon officials, including John Rood, R-O-O-D, the Pentagon's top advisor for defense policy, who described China as, quote, the greatest threat to our way of life in the United States, unquote, at the Aspen Security Forum last July. Since the Pentagon has been redesigning its policies and research towards a long war with Russia and China, the Russian military has accused the U.S. of harvesting DNA from Russians as part of a covert bioweapons program, a charge that the Pentagon has adamantly denied. Major General Igor Kirillov, the head of the Russian military's Radiation, Chemical, and Biological Protection Unit, who made these claims, also asserted that the U.S. was developing such weapons in close proximity to Russian and Chinese borders. China has also accused the U.S. military of harvesting DNA from Chinese citizens with ill intentions, such as when 200,000 Chinese farmers were used in 12 genetic experiments without informed consent. These experiments had been conducted by Harvard researchers as part of a U.S. government-funded project. Last Thursday, the Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness Innovations, or CEPI, announced that it would fund three separate programs in order to promote the development of a vaccine for the new coronavirus responsible for the current outbreak. CEPI, which describes itself as a partnership of public, private, philanthropic, and civil organizations that will finance and coordinate the development of vaccines against high-priority public health threats, was founded in 2017 by the governments of Norway and India, along with the World Economic Forum and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Its massive funding and close connections to public, private, and non-profit organizations have positioned it to be able to finance the rapid creation of vaccines and widely distribute them. Skipping down. For instance, the top funders of Inovio Pharmaceuticals include both DARPA and the Pentagon's Defense Threat Reduction Agency, or DTRA, and the company has received millions of dollars in grants from DARPA, including a $45 million grant to develop a vaccine for Ebola. And still more about the various contracts, and again, skipping down. However, the CEPI grant to combat coronavirus may change that, as it specifically funds Inovio's efforts to continue developing the DNA vaccine for the coronavirus that causes MERS. Inovio's MERS vaccine program began in 2018 in partnership with CEPI in a deal worth $56 million. The vaccine, currently under development, uses, quote, Inovio's DNA medicines platform to deliver optimized synthetic antigenic genes into cells, where they are translated into protein antigens that activate an individual's immune system, and the program is partnered with U.S. Army Medical Research Institute of infectious diseases. Skipping down again. Inovio's collaboration with U.S. military in regards to DNA vaccines is nothing new, as their past effort to develop a DNA vaccine for both Ebola and Marburg virus were also part of Inovio's CEO's Dr. Joseph, part of what Inovio's CEO Dr. Joseph Kim called its active biodefense program. And one of the things about this, and I'm going to summarize this, I will read this all into the record in the next program. It is also worth noting that Inovio Pharmaceuticals was the only company selected by CEPI with direct access to the Chinese pharmaceutical market through its partnership with China's Apollo Bio Corporation. Skipping down again. Both DNA and mRNA vaccines involve the introduction of foreign and engineered genetic material into a person's cells, and past studies have found that such vaccines, quote, possess significant unpredictability and a number of inherent harmful potential hazards, and that, quote, there is inadequate knowledge to define either the probability of unintended events or the consequence of genetic modifications. Nonetheless, the climate of fear surrounding the coronavirus outbreak could be enough for the public and private sector to develop and distribute such controversial treatments due to fear about the epidemic potential of the current virus. And there is more about this. This is a very interesting program. I will read the rest of this article into the record in our next program, and it will be in the written description for the program as well. Again, from the UNS review, with all the caveats I said, bats, gene editing, and bioweapons, recent DARPA experiments raise concerns amid coronavirus outbreak, by Whitney Webb, January 30th of 2020. This concludes For the Record program number 1119, DARPA and the COVID-19 outbreak, being recorded on March 6th of 2020. I'm Dave Emery. Have fun.